You are listening to David Kaplan, weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Welcome back. Hey, Fields, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Glenview. You get a low price, a whole lot more. Some auto dealerships advertise false prices just to get you to come in the door. At Fields, all their advertised prices are real, and they don't change when you walk in the dealership. At Fields, we want to earn your business, and we'll never mislead you to get it. Come into Fields, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Glenview, or visit us at fieldcjd.com. Welcome back. I'm Cap. He's PB. Thank you, Danny Zetterman and Chris Black. Thank you, Ed Werder and Jack Del Rio. And we welcome Carmen and Yurko in for Crosstalk, brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. We are aggressive. We are action. We are the Wolves. Crosstalk, brought to you by the Wolves and the best hockey deal in town. Get your fan four-pack, including four tickets, four hot dogs, four sodas, and a popcorn for one low price. Fan four-pack started just $18 per ticket. Go to Chicago Wolves. .com. So, Carm, you are the odds couple.
Yeah, one half.
You and Northy.
6-7 Friday, ESPN 1000.
Right. Not
and
this Friday, though.
And replayed
at Notre Dame.
Replayed on Saturday
replay
morning.
Replay Saturday morning. Podcast only, and then Saturday replay because we have the Pac-12 championship game on our air Friday night. We've got the Oregon-Utah game.
Okay, so
Friday night.
So. One of our fine P1 listeners, I'll call him my friend Peter. He is down to the final two in a Survivor contest.
Oh, boy. Well, first, this isn't really gambling. Then.
First prize is $10,000.
Okay. I mean, it's gambling
I feel
in a
like
way.
We did this already.
And
he's got to pick the winner.
We didn't do it with Carm.
I know.
All right.
And
he needs a lock for this weekend.
They've offered him to split. He would get five.
He'd get what's the first prize? Is a grand?
Ten.
Oh, $10,000?
And he'd split it.
$5,000?
Yeah. It's two guys.
Split the pot. Depends on how much $5,000 means to
and
you.
And he has not yet used Green Bay, who hosts Washington this week. He has not used the Chiefs, who host Denver next week, and the other guy has used both of those.
I would roll with it. I would play Green Bay this week and play for the $10,000.
Really?
Yes.
And Vic Fangio sticks it to you in
week
16.
I told him to take the cash.
I mean, that could be the only... I'd be stunned if Washington went into Green Bay and won this week.
Yeah,
I got to be... I've been hard on the Packers. I think they're a very unimpressive 9-3, but I'd be stunned if they lost at home this time of year.
Have they still been outgained, Carm?
Yes, they have. They've been outgained on the year. They're not. I don't care what any. I'm a bitter Bears fan. You can say whatever you want. The Packers are an unimpressive 9-3 team. That's it. Now they've got they've got the most impressive quarterback, if you ask me, or one of them. And I still want Aaron Rodgers more than anybody, but they're not special. But I'd be stunned if they lost
to one. Are you upset that Cole Hamels is headed to the Braves?
No, I thought maybe a 1-year deal for the Sox would be good. But
$18 million too much.
Yeah, you know the problem is I gave Yurko. We went through this yesterday. You look at his splits from last year. The problem is he's going to turn 36 here. When you're that age and you have an injury, look at his splits from last year. How good he was and how just horrific he was in the second half. And that's what happens. It's hard to when you're that age. It's hard to come back from little injuries.
We agree that Cole and Strasburg are going to get paid. Right? We agree?
Yes, they're getting paid.
And Bumgarner.
You don't want... Well, how much is Bumgarner going to get
projections
paid?
Projections are 4 for $72 million.
Yeah, well, that's only $18 million a year, Carm. Right. That's why I had him yesterday, and you said you didn't want
Wheeler.
Him.
Wheeler's going to be more than that.
Well, I mean, Wheeler's going to be 5 or 6 years north of 100.
Mad Bum, I don't know.
$20 million a year, but I pointed out the fact that he was 30. Pointed out the fact that he hasn't really started, 34 games every single year for 12 years in a row.
No, I know it. I could maybe be talked into it. My initial reaction is I don't like the way that's going to age.
Well, the Wheeler thing's also surpassing your Madison Bumgarner thing.
Oh, for sure. Now it definitely is. And now it sounds like the White Sox are no longer the front runner. It sounds like the Phillies have the best bid now.
Well that's the risk you run, Jerry. That's the risk you run.
Yeah. How bad do you want
it? One of our loyal listeners, Tim, attorney Tim, says the White Sox will absolutely not stand pat on this. They will bump their offer so they can finish second.
I hope. Bump their offer so they finish second.
And he's a huge Sox fan.
You son of a. I hope they get him. So.
If you don't get that guy, what do you do?
I don't know because they're not in on Cole and Strasburg. I think they have to get Wheeler. I mean, if they're going to legitimize.
Do you re-engage on Cole and Strasburg?
I don't think they've got any interest. And I don't think they want to get into what they did last year where they were telling it, we're in, and then they really weren't. So they're not playing that game this year, which I appreciate. I'd rather just have them be honest. You told the world you weren't going to be outbid for Manny Machado last year, and you were outbid by $50 million. What?
Let me put these sunglasses on to hide the shock in my eyes.
So at least they're not out there telling everybody. They're doing the opposite. They know there's no way they're spending that kind of money. There's no way Jerry's spending that kind of money on a pitcher. So, okay, I don't like it, but at least they're not getting our hopes up. No false hopes about Gerrit Cole coming here. Fine, they're not in on it. That's kind of why you have to get Wheeler. You better go the extra yard here. I mean, you know, get it done. If it costs you another 20 schmil, it costs you another 20 schmil, but get it done.
Let me ask you a question. 6 for $120. You doing that?
Yeah, I would do it.
I'd rather go after Cole or Strasburg and get myself a legitimate one.
Yeah, but they're not going to do that, though.
Look, again, I'm just telling you what I would do.
Well, I'm with you.
I'm Rick Hahn.
If I'm the owner, well, not Rick Hahn, you got to be the owner. Rick Hahn ain't writing the checks.
Jerry's writing the checks?
Yes, he is. And if Yurkovich was the owner,
I know he's getting checks.
I wish I would have been your general manager. And I'd say, yeah, I can go after Cole Hahn.
I know he's receiving checks.
I could go after. I just took Gerrit Cole and mixed them with Rick Hahn.
They make good shoes, though.
Great shoes. I wish I was the GM for John Yurkovich, yes, because he'd say, go get Gerrit Cole.
Go get him.
And I'd go get him. But that ain't happening.
Strasburg. Either one of the two.
Why do you call him Strasburg?
That's his name.
It's Strasburg.
Strauss. Get Chef Hans on the phone and find out how to pronounce that name.
You had Chef Hans coming from Austria last week.
Strasburg.
He's Swiss.
They're right next to each other. Switzerland. I mean,
that is always a Thanksgiving day day before.
Oh, that's right.
You got the good kid driving, which is always a treat.
Always.
And then
major fiasco.
You've got Chef Hans to take the bird. I mean,
I love Chef.
It's all
Chefy's the best.
So fantastic.
Brian the bird. Okay, Danny.
I love Chef. So Pat gave out a quote from Tom Ricketts. Did you see it today?
What was it? What
Ricketts tell him, Pat.
Basically, he was asked about the expenditures for the Wrigley Field renovation, and he said, "Yeah, we missed it by about 100%."
Whoa. Yeah, so it doubled.
So the original budget was between $575 and $600 million.
So they spent $1.2 billion.
Wow.
Woo!
How about that?
And they didn't finance that, right? Like, he did that on his own. That's
not as bad as the LA Stadium, how bad they missed on that one.
They're missing by like $4 billion, aren't they?
Yeah, they're missing by $4 billion.
How much do you think? What do you think you could have gotten if you built a brand new stadium if you had $1.2 billion to spend?
I bet you could have built a nice stadium.
Yeah.
But they didn't want that. Don't they want the Wrigley?
It would have cost more than that.
Right? It would. Right.
Yeah, it's like both the Mets and Yankees.
You're talking $2 billion now.
Yeah.
You are. Simply you are.
At least
$2 billion.
So you saved 800
schmil. Hey, listen, they got what they want. They got a revenue-making machine coming in there. It's going to start churning things over for the next 30 years.
Wow, they missed it by 100%, man. I guess it's easy, those overages. You know, hey, listen, anybody that's ever built a home probably will tell you.
Well, not only that,
you
but then you got to
fight. Over.
Yeah, the reason the L.A. thing is because they're expanding the airport out there, LAX.
Oh, is that right?
So they're fighting over a limited amount of equipment and workforce.
Oh, really?
There's only so many people that are, you know, in those trades.
That's why the...
Yeah, LAX has got their expansion going on at the same time.
So it's not...
And they're fighting over certain things.
So New Yankee Stadium was $1.3 billion.
Yeah, and that was built 10 years ago.
2009.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like,
City Field was almost three?
Let's see.
By the way, so who's missed more at Clark and Addison? Theo in free agency or whoever came up with the numbers for for the budget on the Wrigley Field renovation?
That's good. It wasn't Crane.
No,
it was
I know.
It's
I'm
above
kidding.
Crane.
Finance. Whoever in the
but
finance
that goes with
course.
Anything, right?
Crane know about construction.
I don't know.
City Field also opened in 2009.
So these are 10 years.
$850 million.
Oh, really?
But that was 10 years ago. So, I mean, I'm telling you, you're talking now. If you're going to do it,
cost
the way the Cubs would have done it.
What's the newest one?
Been
the Braves, SunTrust
Park? Yeah, SunTrust. See what that cost.
You're talking about the Rangers opening a ballpark this year? Texas Rangers.
Did they just build their ballpark?
Yeah, they did. Now they're doing a new one.
That ballpark was built in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, probably late 80s. You're probably right. Yeah.
There was nothing wrong with that ballpark.
I've never been there, but I heard
that. I have.
Nice.
I've been to the restaurant upstairs, too.
SunTrust Park, $622 million.
Can I tell you how it works?
Because it's Atlanta?
Carmen, it's hot there.
Yeah, it's hot.
They're in Dallas, Texas, kid. Yeah. It's going to be hot in Dallas, Texas. Well, you want to not be as hot?
Build a dome.
Go to Anchorage, Alaska. And you're not going to be that hot.
I've just heard, without a roof, that those games in the middle of the summer in Texas, I've heard, are brutal.
Even at night.
Absolutely.
In the setting sun.
They're just brutal.
The new Texas stadium, $1.1 billion.
That's the new one, see?
Mm-hmm. All right, well.
That's what it's projected to be. The final cost, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
What did Jerry World cost?
About that, I want to say, if I'm remembering.
By the way, that place is awesome. Is incredible.
It's incredible.
It goes on forever. It's like incredible. If you sit there and said, okay, good kid, you're like, I'm going to be in this section. The number of decks, as you just look up at AT&T, it's massive.
1.3 billion, and it opened in 09.
Okay. Yerk and I were there in 2010 when the Bears played the Cowboys.
We had a good time.
What did you see there, Pat? Yeah.
I went to a concert down.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow. It is something, man. I mean, it was that scoreboard, and now I guess there are more like it because that's 10 years ago already. But I remember you couldn't help but watch that scoreboard. Like, we had great seats, too. We were barely even watching the game. We're all looking up at that scoreboard. It was mesmerizing.
Yeah, well, you couldn't watch on the field.
You couldn't. Yeah. And we had great seats.
And it just kept going up. Like,
you just kind of kept going, whoa.
Couldn't help it.
Like, you'd never seen anything like it. You
Scrappy.
Know?
Scrappy was there.
Scrappy.
Scrappy Urlacher.
Oh, yeah. Remember that? Yeah, I think he was.
Yeah, Brian was playing on the field, and his brother was there.
He calls him
the mayor.
Scrappy.
Well, I used to call remember Scooby had his little nephew, Scrappy. So when Scrappy played with the Bears, that one, remember the offseason, they signed Scrappy to a contract. You know, hey, look at us.
They did.
So I called him Scrappy after that. But listen, he's the mayor, man. He's a mayor.
I don't know. He's still the mayor, is he? He was for a while.
I think he's getting things done.
Yeah, that was the only time I had ever been in that stadium, though. But it's spectacular.
Did you catch the shade that won David Kaplan?
I heard about it. I didn't see it last night.
Akeem Hicks way. He said he was trying to be a facilitator. I had to call him out on that.
First of all, the best part about the tweet that our buddy Dave Ennett sent last night, Waddle's plaque at Boston College. There are a couple of things that stood out.
How about the size of his neck?
Boom! The size of Waddle's neck. Okay, like they made him look like an Adonis.
Well, he said neck.
Listen,
neck,
probably back then when Tommy was playing, Tommy had that. You had the traps. You ever see those pictures like Dave Remington
and
all that?
I watched Tom Waddle play. I don't remember that neck.
He had a neck.
Okay,
man.
And the other thing is great speed and hands. I'm like, who are they talking about? Are they talking about Waddle?
Well, back then, 4'7 was fast.
They opening Coors Lights.
He even jokes. He said he ran like a 5-something at the combine.
Guys, hands and speed. 4'7 was fast back then.
I absolutely love Waddle. It's so great. And I appreciated Ennett sharing that plaque. Yeah, but it sounds like Akeem wants to be done with it. Listen, it's over. It's done. He's either going to come on or he's not. Nobody's going to lose sleep over it anymore. Akeem Hicks is coming back in a week, which is good news for the Bears defense, because whatever we've said about Akeem, and we thought that was a little ridiculous last week, he is a great player. All right, he's probably the second best player on the team. It's over. Like Mike Singletary said, it's over. It's done. It happened. Everybody move on. If he doesn't want to come on again, don't come on. Hopefully he'll come on Friday and they'll, you know, mend the fence, I guess, as we say, and they'll have a pleasant conversation and they'll finish out the year doing a few more shows and then that's it. But if he doesn't, it's over. Done.
It is what it is.
It's it. Let's be done with it. But Waddle's neck, I couldn't get over it.
And since I have nothing positive to say on the situation, I will not speak.
The only positive thing you have to say is that Akeem Hicks is a great player. That's it.
Yep. Either the second or third best player on the team.
Correct.
Depending where you want to put Allen Robinson.
Correct. I still love what you showed up with at the remote.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I do.
Do you know about that, Pat?
No.
Why don't you tell him what you brought to the
room? No, that was last week, guys. We've moved on.
He showed up with diapers.
Okay.
He went for in baby form.
Oh,
baby form.
Okay. Wow.
Teething ring.
Wow.
Teething ring. Pacifiers. You know, everything that's necessary when you're a baby.
That's fair. That's fair.
So but that was great. Last week.
But I've moved on. I've moved on.
We're on to Dallas, right?
As we like to say.
That's right.
Did you see Patty Kane got an elbow in the face today?
Oh,
practice?
Probably
boy,
deserved
it. Nothing's going right.
He probably deserved it.
They're spent,
I don't
PB.
Think so.
It's not even Christmas and
who
they're
gave
done.
Him
they're
done
schemes.
Ryan Carpenter.
Love that kid.
Save that for tomorrow night at TD Garden.
I mean, really?
Against
Marshawn.
Eastern Conference leading Boston
Bruins. Did he throw
Bruins.
The elbow or did Kane's face find the elbow?
Sometimes it can be innocent. I'm gonna side that the future Hall of Famer's face is usually in the right spot at the right time.
I am
it's
too.
Like the time I got stabbed in the back 47 times. That didn't really happen on purpose, right?
No, I don't think so.
Is that Tiny? Tynowitz?
No. Talking about real stabs. I'm not talking about verbal jabs.
Yeah, normally Kaner is pretty good at avoiding contact.
He's the best skater out there. Well, usually the best skater out there is avoiding the contact.
He knows where to be.
You know that contact didn't happen around the net.
Yeah, let me ask you this question, just on the topic of Kane. When we talk about longevity of superstars in this town, this is year 13.
Oh, this town.
This town.
Yeah.
Like, Michael's excellence, how many years would you give the you know, would you start second year?
1984.
Yeah.
Until he left in 1998.
Even when he was playing baseball. I mean, yeah. it was 15 years.
He's the greatest story this town has ever
Absolutely.
Seen.
Absolutely. He's the greatest.
Second only to Karl-Heinz Grenitz.
He's the greatest show, with no disrespect to Walter or Dick Butkus or Gale Sayers or anybody else. He is the greatest show this yes. town has ever seen, period.
He's on a pedestal here. Everybody else looks up upon him.
Yeah. Look, again, I'm not talking about what they mean to their sport or their excellence at their craft. I'm talking about duration of it.
And
Caner's run is long.
I mean, it's as long as anybody's.
If Caner exceeds 15 years, like...
Yeah, I mean, it's prolonged. You're right. I mean, in terms of longevity, it's going to be about as good as anybody's. And he's... Great. Kane might go down as the greatest American-born player ever.
I mean,
he's right there in the conversation.
He's not there yet, but he will be there eventually.
He's awfully close.
He's got to surpass the 500-goal mark. Once he does that, then we start talking about that.
You know, he might be the greatest American-born NHLer ever.
And he's pretty much done it without consistent line mates.
Well, yes, he has,
which is amazing. That's the incredible part of it.
I know. That is. Just think. I mean, like...
Boy. I mean, like, take Scotty... You know, I can't compare sports necessarily, but to think he's put up those numbers...
I know.
And it's been a revolving door...
Around him.
Around him is pretty amazing.
Yeah, he's great.
It's amazing to go back and look at the record since they got rid of Hjalmarsson and Artemi Panarin. Their record has just gone south.
Yeah.
Crazy. Huh? Hey, Yerk, we had a question for you.
I am here.
Is that your foot powder?
Yeah, of course it is.
It was from the summer.
I was right.
Yeah, it's from the summer. Absolutely.
It's when he was wearing shoes.
Yeah. Shoes, and they had a little stench. You had to get new shoes. I said, well, listen, the one way you get rid of stenchy shoes, you throw a little foot powder in there, man. Tough actin, tenactin.
That's right.
We weren't sure it was yours.
Where do you exactly apply that? Just anywhere you want.
Put it in your shoe. What are you talking about?
I saw the remnants on a chair.
Well, that's when I got my. You know, 3 days later, I'm still wearing the same tennis shoes. I put my feet up on the thing. They got some remnants from the shoe.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't mind, but you're talking about. You know, 4 months ago, you know, you're cashing some old checks there, boy.
We still have
And that's older than some of the hairs above your lip there, kid.
Keep it here because we're going to need it again when the summer
rolls. I'm not taking it away.
No, I know.
I don't know what the point is. We're trying to figure out exactly what the point of the conversation is.
Leave it here.
It's my foot powder, man. You know why I keep it here? It's where my feet are going to be.
It says Yurko.
Right?
It's true.
Isn't that what you do? You keep them where your feet are going to be.
Good point.
I know exactly where I'm going to be at noon, usually, every single day, Monday through Friday.
Tomorrow, where are we going to be at noon, Yurko?
We're going to be at Twin Peaks in Warrenville.
Football Thursday tomorrow.
Big Football Thursday. Guess who's going to be out there, too? Sylvie and Waddle.
Wow. Nice. They've been added to the extravaganza.
Six straight hours, Twin Peaks in Warrenville tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah. Getting ready for Bears and Cowboys.
Bears.
That's right.
Bears down.
What do you have coming up on today's show?
Bears down. Today we have... our buddy Field Yates, about an hour and 10 minutes from now, 1:30 or so for
our
Field
guy.
Yates. Love Field. And playoffs start for most people this weekend in fantasy football, so we'll get some fantasy questions in there too. And we've got Reese Davis for a little bit to talk football. And maybe we'll sneak in some hoops too, Big Ten ACC Challenge.
How about Northwestern loses to Merrimack and Ryder? And
you bet he will.
Not BPC last night.
And Providence. I'm going tonight to see DePaul and Texas Tech.
DePaul still undefeated.
Oh, that should be great.
Best start in 30 years. 8-0.
Good for DePaul.
Andre Emmett.
Texas Tech is 10th.
You guys see the total in the Virginia Purdue game tonight?
I have not.
103.
102.
Ooh. It's a tab. Matt Painter still down there at Purdue.
I kind of like the under
strings.
They're both in. Obviously, Virginia plays at the slowest pace in the country. They have for years now. Purdue's in the top 25 in terms of slow pace.
Are they?
Virginia has held three opponents already to under 40 points. I kind of like the under, but I almost in good conscience can't bet.
There's too much talent on the floor.
102, gentlemen.
Man. Duke would have had that by themselves at halftime last night. They were unbelievable, by the way. Did you see Duke at all?
I watched a little. You know, when it got out of hand, I turned it off and I started watching The Irishman. So I'm about 2 hours and 15 minutes into The Irishman.
What do you think?
It's good. I mean, the digital technology they're using to take them through the eras, because it kind of bounces
back and forth.
Sure it does.
And so they're young, and then they're old, and then they're a little bit older, and then they're young again. It's fabulous.
It doesn't seem like it's imposing, though. It, you know how you can stay with it? Where when you jump around in other movies, you're like, what?
No, it's how? Very well done. I will say that. Pacino, to me so far, Pesci has been the best.
Yeah, like, I just read something, and a critic said, if he doesn't win the best actor, just cancel the award.
Well, I don't know if he's going to win the best actor, because what's his name in Joker was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Pesci will be up for
Phoenix,
supporting.
Phoenix Rivers.
He'll probably be up for supporting, but I think Pesci's done the best job in the movie so
Joaquin
far.
Joaquin Phoenix.
No,
Phoenix, yeah, Joaquin Rivers.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah,
Joaquin.
He's going to win. He was brilliant.
We're talking about Adam Sandler.
They're saying Adam Sandler might get a nod because of this movie that's coming out next week, Uncut
Gems. What movie
Gems.
Is coming? Ooh, Uncut Gems.
Yeah. They're saying he might get a Best Actor nod.
That's
Adam
the name
Sandler.
That's the name of my amazing. That's the name of my adult film, John Yerkovich.
Uncut Gems.
Yeah.
You better believe it, baby. Johnny Uncut.
That's right.
Yeah, it looks good. The preview for that movie.
Until that one hits the stands. Will Ryder will be the...
Yes, Will Ryder will definitely direct it.
Played golf with him this summer.
We did.
Yep.
The movie looks good. Kevin Garnett's in it. Francesca's got a
Michael Francesca?
He's a bookie in it.
How many scenes is he in?
I don't know.
One.
He's in one in the trip.
Two.
Three. It's a good one, PB.
The only bookie that never broke anyone's leg.
Five.
Yeah, Mike Francesca.
Six. He's done Friday, that's it?
Yeah, and he and Dog got into it yesterday.
Oh, they did? Who did?
Him and who?
Dog and Francesca.
What? Dog is so still dog doing did, stuff with him?
He must have called in.
No, Dog did an interview.
Who's the dog here for our listeners?
Chris Russo.
Mad Dog. There we go.
And so Dog was asked in some interview, and he blasted Francesca for coming back, how he wrecked his legacy, how he's been terrible since he just was all over him.
Russo? So he was accurate.
So Francesca came back out and said, I've never talked about him, but he works where no one can hear him.
Oh, there we go. They've only got 30 million subscribers, but nobody can hear him.
How many does he have, though? How many listen to him?
I don't know. That's true. I'm not sure. I mean, most of those are
what
for
are his rates? Is Francesca right?
I don't know. I Russo must be doing okay. They pay him a boatload.
They do pay him. That dude, they
just signed like a new $6 million deal.
Have they ever made a dollar yet? Are they in the black yet?
I don't know.
Okay, that's another question that's fair to ask. Are they in the black yet?
It's like Netflix. Like, they pay out, but do they make money? I'm telling you, Netflix, from everything you read, doesn't make money.
Uber doesn't make money either.
Yeah, right. Not yet. Will they ever? I mean, when are they going to? They're spending $10 billion a year in programming. They don't make money. They don't turn a profit. I'd like to see
that business model.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I was watching, and there's an interview.
Everybody that goes up there gets an $80 million deal.
Right. Comedians you've never heard of.
Right. We'll give you $40 million. I'm like, wait a minute, what?
There's an interview where Warren Buffett and Bill Gates are sitting on a set, and Buffett says to him, what is it that you do? He goes, you guys have all these things out there. He goes, all these companies on the internet. You make no money. You make no products. He said, I just don't understand how these companies keep running at deficits.
I don't know. Well, Bill Gates had to make money. I mean, Microsoft was profitable.
He was talking about online, a lot of the stuff.
Oh, yeah. I have no idea. Maybe we're wrong, but it seems like what you read is that Netflix doesn't make money. They're getting $5 billion a year in fees.
Are they going to create more
fees, but they spend $10 billion a year?
Irishman's getting all the accolades and everything. Are they making more money than Frozen 2?
Could they possibly
on The Irishman? They won't.
No, there's no way because it's only had a limited theater release.
Yeah. Again, my point is, there you go.
Right,
where are you making actual money at?
I have no idea. Where are you making virtual money? I don't know where they're getting the money to spend.
Now maybe that
just
virtual
keep raising capital.
Hold
I guess.
On, the virtual money or the virtual capital may one day turn into something.
Maybe,
but right now, you know, I'm looking at tangible assets.
I love Netflix.
It's the world I deal in.
Don't ever take it away because it's fabulous.
I don't deal in imagination. Yeah. I deal in reality.
I love it. So
speaking of that, is tomorrow a playoff game?
Of course it is. Every playoff game the rest of the way.
That's imagination.
And they become more important as the days go on. As the weeks go on, if you win, it doesn't matter.
Got to win tomorrow.
I'd say it's a must win.
Yes.
Absolute must win.
Of course, without a doubt. No doubt.
Get it done.
All right. See you tomorrow.
Have a good show, boys.
See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Guys, have a great day. Don't forget Waddle and Sylvie coming up at 2 o'clock with the holiday parody finalists and all of that. So have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
That's what I'm taking out of this thing the last 4 weeks is there's been some special throws that he's made at crucial times. And then sometimes it's also the ones that he's not making that are just as big. And that's, to me, what I think is significant growth in where he's at the last 4 weeks.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
Matt Nagy remains encouraged on Mitchell Trubisky's development. Last couple of wins against the Giants and the Lions as a little step up in class with the Cowboys rolling into town for Thursday Night Football to kick off the week in the NFL tomorrow. So happy hump day to everybody. The Bears and the Cowboys just a day away. Nice sunny day today. I think it's going to be pretty warm tomorrow, too. Come by and see us for the entire afternoon tomorrow. The radio station is going to be out at Twin Peaks in Warrenville. Not a football Friday this week, a football Thursday, since we have Bears and Cowboys to talk about, York. So we're going to do our show there, one of our favorite stops. Waddle and Sylvie will follow us live at the Twin Peaks in Warrenville, just off Deal Road and the highway, so off of Route 88. Come by and see us, or I-88, excuse me. Come by and see us tomorrow. All day we'll be having a blast with Truly Hard Seltzer, Bet Indiana, and Alpamonte Buick GMC. Not miss it.
Decisions, decisions, decisions. That's what Matt Nagy is telling me. He loves the decisions that are being made by Mitch Trubisky.
The throws that he's not making.
The ones that he's not making. The ones he is. Yeah. All right. If that's what you're telling me,
yeah.
We'll keep looking for it. Keep looking for the development. He's been better. I don't think anybody can argue he's been better.
On that game winning, that go-ahead drive on Thanksgiving Day, almost a week ago, I'll give Mitch credit. For all the inaccurate deep balls we have seen, he dropped two in the bucket where Justin Coleman had pretty good coverage on Anthony Miller. And he made two great throws. Those are the kinds of throws that you need to make if you're going to consistently win in this league.
And let's keep doing it.
He hasn't been able to do it consistently. Maybe he can. Has he turned a corner?
We will find out. It could be the benching that helped go ahead and facilitate all this, Carm. It could be the benching, non-benching. Could be the worried about him. Whatever it is, since that point, you've actually seen something of a semblance of a quarterback in the NFL. So, hey, all power to him for doing what he did, Matt Nagy. And if that woke him up and got him upset, I'm going to do it my way. Frank Sinatra, he's going Frank Sinatra on me. Going to do it my way. Fine, do it your way. Just win. That's what this league's all about. Al Davis had it right. Win, baby.
You're right.
He knew what the hell he was talking about. When you win, everything's good. Ask our guy Ron Rivera what it's like.
Boy, I mean, they had a press conference for Ron. When do you ever see that? A coach gets fired in the middle of a season, and they have a press conference. That's how much they appreciate and, I think, respect Ron Rivera, even though it was probably time for a change.
I have a feeling that's fine, 10-year rule. Chico's going to land on his feet.
I think
Chico's going to have another job.
Yeah.
Chico will say, okay, what mistakes did I make? Blah, blah, blah. You know, that's got to be the end of Cam Newton down there, doesn't it, then?
I would think so.
You would think, you know, new man, new person, new this, new that. Cam Newton days are numbered there, and he'll be a free agent at the end of the year.
They may
or they'll trade him,
right,
depending
trade
upon
him.
What the contract status is.
He's got 1 year left, I believe. Yeah. You know, he's got a very reasonable number, but the problem is, can any team truly trust the injuries right now? It's not going to happen in Carolina.
Anybody makes the mistakes of trading two first-round picks for anybody anymore is a fool.
Yeah.
Well, you need cost certainty on your team, too.
Garoppolo didn't cost two first-rounders,
he's
right?
Second-rounder. Second-rounder for Jordan.
That's what
Jimmy
I mean.
Garoppolo.
And, like, he's... And I'm not. I don't mean to say that.
Was Cutler the last quarterback that cost somebody two rounders in a trade?
Two first rounders?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Oh boy.
Or was he even two first rounders? Was he a first, a third, and
Jay was traded for? That's 10 years ago.
I'll look it up. But let's not worry about that as much. I'll look it up. You know, let's just sit there and know that he'll be available. Is he a quarterback the Bears should be interested in?
I don't think so, personally. I think there are too many injury concerns.
Two first-rounders for Cutler.
Yeah, thank Cutler you. Was two first.
2009 and a third. 2009 yeah. and 2010 first-round picks.
And a third, yeah. He might be the last one because quarterbacks don't get traded like that often.
Kyle Orton also left, guys.
Yes, he
that.
Did.
Kyle Orton was also part of that deal.
You're absolutely right.
You know what the crazy thing was? Is that next year, I believe the Broncos started 6-0.
I think they may have. It was McDaniels, and right? Wasn't that Josh McDaniels?
I remember in a Waddle and Sylvie, when I was producing their show, in a meeting, Waddle and I were discussing, is Kyle Orton a legit MVP candidate?
Oh, yeah, and people were raving about McDaniels at the time, remember?
Right.
And then the bottom fell out pretty quickly about what he didn't last there long.
They beat the Patriots on Monday night, I think, for their sixth win, and everyone was going crazy, and they fell apart.
Yeah, the quarterbacks don't get traded anymore like that, and especially for a guy with major injury concerns. I mean, you're talking about a couple of surgeries here in the last 2 years for Cam. So I don't think that's an option for the Bears. There are other options. There are going to be other options out there. But as if you've stated this, that you don't think the Bears are bringing in anybody, that they think Mitch is a little fragile and they don't want to rock the boat at all, and they're just going to ride with him again next year. I think that's crazy. I mean, I don't.
Well, you'll see.
I don't know how you can do that with a defense that's this good.
All right, I'm going to tell you how NFL people think. This is what they're going to think. They're going to look at what he does over the last four games. They're going to take his stats from the first eight games where they were very, very bad.
Bad.
Very generic. Very nothing. And then they're going to compare him to the stats over the last eight games. And then you know what we're going to see? You're going to see a market improvement. I'm just telling you the story that's going to be spun so you understand it. And I'm going to say, look at improvement from first week to the last 8 weeks. If you can't see a definitive step going from this to here, then what are you looking at? What can't you see?
But when you're so bad in the first eight, isn't it? It's not that big of a hill to climb, right?
It depends upon how good he is.
Yeah, I guess
you're right. You know what? It depends how good he is. What were in the first eight, he had 10 touchdowns?
So you're saying if he's as good as he was bad, if he's as good in the second half as he was bad in the first half,
that they'll spin the yarn that there's the development everybody's looking for.
Okay.
He's heading in the right directions. There he is, full steam ahead. Mitch Trubisky is our guy. And that might happen. There's no guarantee. Dallas is not a walk in the park. Kansas City is not a walk in the park.
Green Bay.
Green Bay in the cold weather is not something you can just go ahead and say, ah. And good things are going to happen to you.
And Minnesota,
even though you're indoors.
Yeah, tough schedule, man.
It doesn't make, you know, they still got a solid defense up there. So it will be interesting. And the quarterback controls it all.
There's not a losing team on that schedule in these last four. You realize
that. But whether you like it or not, this is a team that learned how to win last year. For one reason or another, in a four-game skid, they look like crap. They've beaten the teams they're supposed to beat, and they've struggled against some other teams. They're supposed to beat Denver, Carm. They did.
They did.
They beat Denver. You're supposed to beat Detroit twice. You did do that.
Yeah.
You lost to Green Bay up here in Chicago 7-3. That's it.
7-3.
7-3.
Can you believe it?
Green Bay didn't go and put up a 30-packer on you. No. 30-pointer. They put 7 points on you. You look at it and you say every game was winnable for the Bears except for New Orleans. New Orleans was up a lot of points when they scored two meaningless touchdowns at the end of the game to kind of bring it back to make it look like it was respectable.
That's probably the only one that really
got away.
That
game was 31-10. At one point, it was 31-10. That's a 21-point deficit. You put two touchdowns and a two-point conversion up, you make it look 31-25.
Yeah, that one was probably the only one that truly got away from them. By the way, the Packer game was
10-3. Thank you very much for correcting me.
You know, even the Philly game, like, they were kind of there with the chance. Philly was really giving them an opportunity. Like, Philly opened up a sizable lead, but it's not one that you're right. It's not one you say was totally right. It was not insurmountable.
The New Orleans game was insurmountable.
Yeah, that was the only one.
Yeah.
You're right.
They softened up the defense. They said, go ahead and execute. The Bears found a way to score two touchdowns, but you never felt, if you're New Orleans, like you were in some sort of jeopardy in that game.
Well, the Bears have won three of their last four games, and it is a must-win tomorrow. If you believe that they have a chance to still make the playoffs, they obviously cannot afford another loss. They have to run the table. 77% of the audience from the vote yesterday said no, they will not run the table, that the schedule is just too daunting in the month of December.
So who knows Chicago? I do. I said between 20 and 25%.
You were wrong.
That's
what's
going to happen. And it's 23%.
Yes.
23% of Bears fans think that they're going to run the table.
Correct.
And you know where I belong?
In the 23%?
In the 23%. Because I believe it. You know what, Carm? I've got to believe that. I've got to believe
it. You have a minor vibe, Yurt?
You know, I'll boo this team. If they play like crap, I don't care. But I think they got the ability. They have the ability. Not got. They have the ability to win these games. It's not going to be easy. A lot of people bet against you. If I put the odds of them doing it, to making the playoffs, well, making the playoffs is different. They got it up to 4%, I think. Up to 4%, I think.
I was 3, I think, yesterday, yeah.
Making the playoffs and winning out and not making the playoffs are different. I've got it at about 12.5% that they win the four games. 12.5%, a 1-10 shot.
Yeah.
Maybe a 1-8 shot.
Mm. Ron on Twitter says, guys, wasn't Carson Palmer traded for two first-rounders? He may have been.
Yeah.
We got to go back and look at the history of that.
He was traded just once, right? Or was he traded to the Cardinals?
No, he was traded to the Cardinals.
And the Raiders, right?
And the Raiders, yeah. And I think one of those, he might have fetched a couple. I'm trying to remember. We can go back and look. I doubt anybody, though, as the league and the landscape has changed with all that certainty in that first round. Yurko's right. Teams don't want to give up that kind of capital anymore. They know how valuable those first round picks are in a lot of ways. The talent, the cost certainty that you get, the fifth-year option that you get now. Cam Newton's not going to cost two first-round picks if they decide to trade him, because even Garoppolo, who's a lot younger and not, you know, wasn't coming off of injuries, surgeries at the time, didn't cost two first-round picks. We can go back and look at the history of that, though. Also, Alan, wait, where was our guy? Oh, our buddy Sin City 1980. He says the new stadium in Vegas, we were talking about this during Crosstalk, that one's going to cost about $2 billion. Not surprised. That's like the going rate now. And that came up because Ricketts, I guess, admitted that they missed their estimate by 100%. Yeah. It was double. And the renovations were double. And then people were saying, well, couldn't they just build a new stadium for $1.2 billion? Probably not. And here in Chicago, it's going to cost you more than that.
And the one in Los Angeles, they planned on spending $2 billion. They're up to $4.98. So they've rounded up to $5.
I mean,
and they're worried about construction costs going to the $6 billion mark, which would
like
be they
three
missed,
times.
Yeah, they missed by 200%.
That's a big miss. Yurko.
That's a huge miss.
Yeah, Kroenke's right got the money though, right?
I mean, well, he does.
He's sitting on a small fortune.
Which one? Which man? Which English Premier League team does Kroenke own?
I don't know. That's a question for you, not me.
I think it's Manchester United. No, the Glazers own Manchester
isn't
United.
It Arsenal.
Yeah, it is Arsenal.
Yeah, maybe.
And the people up there are so upset at Stan Kroenke.
Yeah, it is. It's Arsenal.
Yes, they're upset.
Why? Because they stink?
No, ever since he's taken over ownership, they've gone the wrong direction.
Have they?
Yes.
And their kits are also way too tight.
Their kits are too tight. That's the uniform.
Knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's the uniform. Yeah. That's called a kit.
Yes.
Yeah, like that's a historic London-based Premier League team too, right?
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
They expect to do well.
They won premierships in the early aughts, and then Kroenke took over, and it's been caca ever since.
All right, here's what we got today. Reese Davis, 1 o'clock. Field Yates, 1:30. We will sneak in some fantasy questions. The playoffs start for most people this weekend, week 14. So get us your fantasy questions. Send them to me at Carmen DeFalco on my Twitter timeline. Use the hashtag AskField. Also follow Yurko on Twitter. He is at Yurko64. That's Yurko with the J. And if you want to join us, 312-332-3776. That is the number.
Introducing Brewhouse Legends Snack Nut Mix. It's the snack mix created for the craft beer loving crowd. So it's perfect for everything craft beer lovers like to do, like wait in line all day for a new IPA, or wait in line for another new IPA, or wait. Ah, I think you guys know where I'm going. Brewhouse Legends Snack Mixes make your time in line worthwhile. It's available in craft beer-loving flavors like hops and pepper and Michelada. Find it at your local Jewel or online retailers. Their best thing for beer since beer. Brewhouse Legends, top shelf snacking.
It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
We're live at Tailgaters in Bolingbrook as we crown a holiday parody song champ, plus Barstool Big Cat at 4 and Wilbon at 5.
We get started at 2, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Gambling's illegal at Bushwood, but not here in the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio. We have a Tigers golf tournament on, and I think Merkin and Yurko were betting on if a guy was going to make
a putt
or not.
Boy, Justin Thomas just misread that putt.
Yeah. You owe me, kid. You owe me $5.
You owe him Finsky.
They showed
Justin Thomas's stats from last year. He was number one in like 8 categories.
Was he?
Yeah. Greens in regulation.
He was not the player of the year.
Where is Tigers tournament being played? Where do they play this one?
Bahamas.
In the Bahamas. Yes. Oh, the
Albany
Hero
in the
World
Bahamas.
Challenge. And they're playing in the Bahamas. It's got a good field. I mean, all the big names down in the Bahamas.
Quarters is there.
The Quarters, yeah. Matt Kuchar. We call him Quarters. That's what he gives caddy.
He gave his caddy quarters after he won a tournament down in Mexico last year.
This hour is brought to you by the Wolves. Here is the best hockey deal in town. You ready? Get your fan four-pack, including four tickets, four dogs, four sodas, and popcorn for one low, low price, Yurko. The fan four-pack starts at only $18 per ticket, so go to chicagowolves.com.
Carm, what kind of dogs? Lots of opsos?
I think hot.
What kind? Oh, hot dogs?
Lots
I thought,
dogs.
Man, you got kids. You put four dogs like that in that, and a kid comes there and expects to get like
a puppy.
A Hungarian Wisla?
Right. How do you come up
or
with these?
Or a Rhodesian Ridgeback?
Lassa Opsa. My brother's got one of those.
Does he?
Yes. The thing weighs 110 pounds.
It's a nice dog.
They use them to like not hunt lions, but they use them to like protect villages from lions
or
something.
Because they can
Africa.
Get the scent, and then they can chase them off. You put three, four Rhodesian Ridgebacks together, you got yourself a little small army of dogs.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts, man.
You didn't know that.
Let's do some trending, Merck. What's happening in the world of
gentlemen,
social media?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Exciting time right now. We got a Bears game tomorrow.
Yeah, baby.
Bulls game tonight against the Grizzlies without Ja Morant.
Yeah, Ja Morant's out right now.
Already
he's
hurt?
Out. He's, yes. So he's got back spasms or something. I don't think it's anything
young,
serious.
Too young to have back spasms.
Yeah, I know. Anytime you hear back spasms.
Are you kidding me?
He's having a good, really good rookie
very
year.
Good. I watched a lot of their game. Like two Fridays ago, who were they playing? Utah, maybe? I watched almost the whole game.
Yes.
He played great that night.
Yes.
Like, he's going to be good. I mean, he's everything that you thought he was going
to
be.
First of all, trending is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball, Chicago's Big Ten team. Join the Cats at Welsh Ryan Arena this winter for matchups with Tom Izzo's Spartans, Ohio State, Purdue, and more. Season and single game tickets on sale now at NUSports.com. Speaking of Tom Izzo, last night they got it handed to him by Duke, but at halftime, Draymond Green's number 23 was retired. Very cool scene. His whole family was out there, and then Steve Kerr was there.
Yep.
I think the owners flew in from Golden State, were there to support him, Klay Thompson. And for some reason, everyone loves Zaza. Pachulia?
Zaza Pachulia.
Yeah, he's not even playing anymore, is he? He's not in the league anymore. I don't think.
I don't know, actually.
But Draymond even mentioned him. I mean, I know other people have talked about how much they love playing with him. So.
Boy, I mean, like, Zaza was in the league, I feel like, when I was covering the NBA. Do you know that?
Yeah, he's been playing. He played a long time.
I mean, yeah, he's 35 years old, Zaza.
By
the way, Izzo loses again to Coach K. Now, he beat him last year to get to the Final Four.
Which is more important.
It is. But, boy, he's like 11. What? Coach K's like 11-2, I think, against Izzo?
I think Pat said he's 10-2 against
10-2, is that what it is?
When they're both ranked.
When they're both ranked. Yeah, 10-2. Domination.
That's a pretty good record.
And last night was not even close.
No, it was not.
It was never
again. That's why I turned it off. I went to the Irishman. I said, this one ain't going to happen.
That Stephen F. Austin must be a good college basketball team. They beat
That's
Duke
a good point,
Dirk.
I mean, that Duke team looked really good last night.
I don't know
night.
How that happened.
Very athletic. Cam Newton is going to have foot surgery.
Yes.
His season was already over, but he's going to have foot surgery.
That's what I mean. Shoulder last year, right? Foot now.
Yeah,
I mean, you really want to take a chance on all the beating he's taken in his career? He's over 30 now? I don't know.
Daniel Jones has a high ankle sprain.
Oh,
most likely will not play on Monday night against the Eagles, so that means Eli Manning.
Wow.
We'll get the start.
How about that? Eli, what if he comes in and saves the day, huh? Philly needs a win badly, especially depending on what happens tomorrow here at the lakefront. So the big matchups for the NFC East bookend the week in the NFL. Cowboys here, of course, against the Bears. And then, as Merck mentioned, the Monday Nighters going to be the Giants and the Eagles.
Marquise Pouncey, the center for the Steelers, says the fight was all worth it. He missed two games,
two game checks. Yeah. They won last week.
And he
week.
Got a huge fine.
Yeah.
This is a big story last night. The Spurs were down big. James Harden's going in for a dunk, goes down and comes back up. I don't know if it hit him. I don't remember how it hit.
I just think from the way I saw it was he dunked it so vicious. And we were just talking about how James Harden very rarely plays above the rim.
Right.
He went up, he hammers this dunk down. The thing with so much velocity goes through the net and comes back out. And it looked like it missed. But it went in. I mean, the overhead camera.
Then from the neck caught it and then propelled it back up.
Correct.
Is what you're telling me.
Yes.
All right.
And their thinking, has the league ruled on that? They're thinking.
I've not seen anything
the
yet.
The Rockets apparently are telling people that they are very confident the league is going to step in and do one of two things. Award them the win.
How could you do that?
Or replay the final 7.5 minutes
of
the game.
You have to replay.
That's what they'll have to do. They're going to have to go back and there is precedent for that. They're going to have to go back and replay. They're going to have to award them the points and adjust the score and the time from there on in the fourth quarter and replay those final stats.
So none of that exists.
Correct.
The
none
final
of those
7.5 exists.
None of those stats,
Chris,
I think, would exist.
What do you think? What do you think they'll do?
I have a hard time believing that they'll go back and replay.
But
the teams will play again, so I guess you could, the next time they play, kind of set it up that way. I mean, if you watch the overtimes in the end of that game, there were a lot of calls that went both ways. Like a lot of bad charges called towards the end of the game. Like James Harden was just going wild to the basket and getting calls. So, I mean, listen, you move on. I don't think it's – like I get the Rockets' point because it was obvious.
Yeah, it was obvious.
But the league messed up.
Did they not review that?
I don't think you can.
Oh, boy.
And so that's why they were going nuts during the game. And but they obviously, never if they the had basket. The 2 points, they would have won in the end
right.
instead of going to overtime.
By the way, just so you know, just before that, I looked on Bovada to see what the Spurs were on the money line.
Yeah.
They were 15-1.
Wow. Harden had 50 last night.
50.
And I've never seen a guy score 50 and shoot less than 30% from the floor.
Yeah.
He didn't shoot 30% last night, Yerk. But he was perfect from the line. He went to the line 24 times. I don't think I've ever seen that before. A guy scored 50 and shoot less than 30%.
Just the thought of that is cracking me up.
I mean, if they give him that field goal, he shoots a little over 30% in fairness. And that should have been a field goal. So, anything else, Merck?
That's it.
All right, we'll do some football coming up with Reese Davis next. Some college football championship weekend is right around the corner. Maybe sneak in a few questions about the ACC Big Ten challenge going on last night and tonight, and then Field Yates at 1:30. So get your fantasy questions to us. Ask Field. Use the hashtag Ask Field on Twitter. Send them to my timeline at Carmen DeFalco. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Reese Davis talks college football with Carmen and Yurko.
Clemson, its third national championship in college football.
The host of College Game Day joins Carmen and Yurko each week through the college football season.
Snap to Tagovailoa, steps up, throws toward the end zone. Judy is there and he makes the catch. Touchdown.
ESPN's Reese Davis, only on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, baby. Championship weekend is coming up. Reese Davis joins us now. We're live in our first Midwest Bank State Street studios. It's Carmen and Yurko. Hope you're having a fabulous day. One quick note on the Bears before we get to Reese. Prince Amukamara has been, is it technically a downgrade? Where'd they have him listed? I can't remember. They're listing him as doubtful for tomorrow. That's not good. Doubtful means he is unlikely to play.
Yeah. So, Carmen, on Tuesday, he did not practice. That's what he was listed as.
He's got today, a hamstring, right?
Yeah, yes. He did not practice, but they just did a walkthrough. And for tomorrow, game status is doubtful.
Okay, so doubtful is not good.
It's 25%.
Ahead of the Cowboy game tomorrow.
That's 25% you're going to play.
He's going to play, correct. That means 75% you're not going to play. That is not good for the Bears defense for tomorrow. It is something that Bears monitoring. We'll keep an eye on that. Remember to hang with us tomorrow. And then Waddle and Sylvie will follow us when we're out for a football Thursday this week, not a football Friday, because right. The Bears and the Cowboys kick off the week tomorrow night at Soldier. We're going to be at Twin Peaks in Warren.
Prince plays well. Next man up. That's the philosophy you've got to have at this time of the year.
Reese Davis is brought to you by Coors Light, the official beer of College Game Day and Saturday mornings. Chill responsibly. It's going to be a fun weekend. Reese, thanks as always. I mean, do you expect a bunch of craziness, or you think everybody kind of holds serve? I mean, how is this weekend going to play? I mean, the LSU-Georgia game has the biggest implications, correct?
It does. Now, in my judgment, the top three teams, Ohio State, LSU, and Clemson, could not make it to the stadium, and they're still going to the playoff. I think all of those teams have, I think there's not a gap between three and four. I think there's a gulf. So I think those three teams are in, even if they stumble. That's my judgment of the situation. That would leave the fourth spot. If Georgia were to upset LSU, then I think it's a done deal. Those four teams that are in the top four right now will be there. The real drama comes if LSU beats Georgia, as you said, and then you see, would it be a one-loss Pac-12 champion if Utah can beat Oregon, or would it be the winner of the Oklahoma-Baylor game? So, you know, that's where the drama comes in. My judgment of the situation right now is I believe Utah is the slightly better, slightly more complete team than Oklahoma. Their resumes are very similar. It sort of depends on, you know, what your taste is and what your subjective evaluation of it is. I would favor Utah by a hair over either Oklahoma or Baylor, depending on how they look. Now, they don't need to blow out Oregon. They just need to look like a championship team, and I think that for the most part this season they have.
So what if, let's say, Georgia covers the number? They're a seven-point underdog. They play close. It's a great game. They lose by three. They lose by four. Is Georgia still in?
I don't think so. Okay. I think the loss to South Carolina would be the disqualifying factor. The caveat I would offer to that is if, you know, let's say that Oregon beats Utah and Baylor beats Oklahoma. I don't think that there is a lot of love for Baylor in the room. Not that they don't respect them. It's just that, you know, Baylor had a lot of near misses and close calls in the early part of the season. And, you know, I mean, you're allowed to improve, but that has to count for something if they're going to continue to evaluate the entire body of work. The thing that will be hard to get past for a two-loss Georgia team is if they lost to a 4-8 South Carolina team. Inexplicable. It's not really inexplicable. They largely dominated the game. They had four turnovers, missed a late field goal. You know, everything you could possibly do to find a way to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, they did it in that game. So that might well be in that situation a disqualifying loss, you know, when compared to a conference champion. With in Baylor's case, in this scenario that I laid out, they would have one loss and they would have avenged it against Oklahoma. I think if Oklahoma wins and it's Oklahoma, Georgia, that'll be an easy one, and Oklahoma will get the nod.
Well, Wisconsin's got to be kicking itself losing in Champaign, right? I mean, otherwise they're right there.
Yeah, no doubt. If they hold on to that lead and win in Champaign, they're again, as they have been, you know, in recent years, they're playing for a spot in the playoff. And so that game is the thing. But now, you know, it's not a bad deal to be playing for the Rose Bowl. Mm. It's just not the ultimate goal.
Right.
And but you're right. That game, and it's sort of like the Georgia game. You know, if Georgia had beaten South Carolina and rolled in there undefeated, then this would be a done deal. You know, the top four teams would be in, and that'd be it, regardless of what happens in the SEC. So much like Wisconsin at Illinois, Georgia and South Carolina, those mid-season let-down games are carrying a pretty heavy weight on the final Saturday.
How long do you think Chris Peterson will be out of coaching? Does he just need a little bit of a break, a little mental health break to reset, and then he'll be back?
You know, I haven't spoken to him recently, guys. I've done Chris's games when I was doing a lot more play-by-play, both when he was at Boise State and Washington. And, you know, I know him some. I'm not going to sit here and say that we're, you know, bosom buddies. I'm not sure Chris has any bosom buddies in the media. But you know, I think people really respect him. And I know he's a family man, and he's a little bit of a different kind of dude in coaching, meaning that I don't think it is the ultimate definition of his existence. So, you know who I thought of when he stepped away? Was, and it certainly is not as high a profile job, nor is the pressure of what it was, this comparison I'm about to make. But in terms of his gentlemanly nature, I thought of Ara Parseghian. When Ara stepped away at a very young age after the 74 season, I think 74, 75, and just didn't come back, you know, and I don't know that if Chris will come back or not. I suspect he probably will at some point. But a little bit harder read to me on that one than it would be, say, for Urban Meyer, who I'll be stunned if he doesn't, you know, coach somewhere in the next 2 or 3 years.
What are you thinking for Urban Meyer?
I don't know. I mean, I think it would have to be, you know, it has to be a high-level job. I mean, he's not going to, you know, go back and take the Bowling Green job again. But, you know, if there's one of the big-time programs that comes open, you know, and everybody can resolve within themselves that they – are okay with, you know, how situations have been handled as previous stops, then, you know, obviously this guy's a Hall of Fame elite championship coach. He would be a highly coveted commodity for anybody with an opening.
Reese Davis for a few more minutes. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. So ACC football, a pair of teams in the top 25. ACC basketball, pretty used to this, right? Five teams in the top 25, four in the top 10. I mean, are they going to be – you've got some teams like the way Maryland has started. I mean, or not Maryland, the way Louisville has started. I mean, you've got some teams that are flexing a little muscle. Louisville, impressive win last night against Michigan. Is that going to be, are they like the you know, the best of the best conference for the college basketball season, or is that still to be determined?
I think still to be determined. My initial impression of this early college basketball season is that we're going to have a lot of turnover in the rankings. And that is probably, I don't know, sometimes you think it's going to lead to a ton of upsets in the tournament, but sometimes what it's indicative of is that there aren't enough good teams to beat, you know, that whole big group is sort of indistinguishable. That'll be the 1-2-3 seed type team. You know, I thought Michigan State's performance was not very good. The Spartans are up to this point, and I've seen them, you know, in person once and then a couple times on TV. Up to this point in the season, they are not as advertised. So, you know, I think they've got quite a hill to climb to be able to meet the expectations. Obviously, prior to last night, Michigan had been brilliant, but my goodness, that schedule that Michigan has undertaken up to this point. I mean, you knew they were going to stumble someplace sooner or later.
Duke looked good last night, like you said. They beat Kansas already. How did they lose at home to Stephen F. Austin?
Because you know what it is? I don't think they're great teams. I walked out of the Champions Classic, and it's not always one of those four teams that's elite or the very best, the standard bearer. But there have been a few times when I've walked out of that event and said that is absolutely the best team in the country. They may not win at all, but they're the best team. Duke last year, Kentucky 2015. Or other times you walk out and say, okay, that team is a definite national title contender. I didn't get that feeling from any of the four teams that I saw that night. Duke, Kansas, Michigan State or Kentucky. I didn't think any of them looked to be such a cut above everybody. So I think when you don't play well and you face a team like Stephen F. Austin, maybe you don't have your best game and they have their best game and they gather some confidence and start playing better, you can stumble. I don't think anybody's really invincible this year.
All right, as we let you go, I'd be remiss if we just didn't ask. This is like the question that this time every year, it seems like we have to ask about Jim Harbaugh, and I know your stance on this. I think you're right. He's in all likelihood not in jeopardy of losing his job. And at 98% of the schools in this country, 9-2 every year or 10-3 every year is a fabulous year. But they're going backwards, Reese, in terms of what game means the most to them. They have not even been close the last couple of years when the game is over against Ohio State. Is there just that big of a talent gap? And how much of a problem is that for Harbaugh in Michigan right now?
It's a gargantuan problem because they are in the same conference, but they're not in the same league, if you know what I mean. Ohio State, it's not that Michigan doesn't have good players. They do. And they just don't have as many of them, and they don't have as many difference makers across the board as Ohio State. That has to change, or else you're going to continue to get the same results. The teams, I think the number is, since Harbaugh entered the league, I think Ohio State is 40-4 in Big Ten play. Now, I'm doing that off the top of my head, so if I'm a couple games off, I apologize. But those losses, by and large, have come, for lack of a better way to describe it, when Ohio State has gotten caught with its pants down. Not really into the game, not locked in, not focused the way they should be, not playing to the top of their ability. That is never, ever going to happen when they play Michigan, right?
Yep.
So then it comes down to talent and coaching, and I think Michigan's a well-coached team. Second half of the season, they didn't look like a well-coached team early, but second half of the season they did. I thought they acquitted themselves well for quite some time against Ohio State. Ohio State's better than them, and that has to change. You're not going to, because they're always going to be ready for you. So unless you can figure out some way to completely trick them, you have to be able to at least match them to win enough of the one-on-one battles often enough to get a win.
Enjoy championship weekend, Reese, and then next week we'll talk to you again and preview the bowl games, all right?
Okay, I will. Can I fix the Bears real quick?
You want to? Yeah, help us. Go ahead.
All you have to do is throw the ball to my man Jesper Horsted. Keep throwing the ball to Jesper, baby.
Everybody loves Jesper Horsted.
Jesper played baseball with my son.
With your
Princeton,
son?
And they were road roommates. Yeah, so we were pretty fired up when he hauled in that touchdown pass on Thursday. Great guy, and I wish him continued success.
That's a great connection you have with him. I forgot about that. I mean, and he's a hell of an athlete, right? I mean, he's playing center field at Princeton. He was a great wide receiver from what we heard.
Yeah, he's a really remarkable athlete. Big kid. Can do a little bit of everything. If you get him on your show sometime, ask him about the trip that he took one offseason. Rather than train for football or rather than play summer baseball, he went to Nicaragua to learn surfing.
Oh, my God. Sometime. Sounds like an interesting dude for sure.
Yeah, he's a great dude.
Thanks,
great
Reese.
Dude. All right, see you guys.
See you, buddy. Bye-bye. That's Reese Davis. Yeah, I forgot about that Reese's son played baseball with him. How about that? Everybody, like Kyle Brandt, of course, played football at
Princeton. 7 degrees of separation.
Everybody loves
him. He's the new Kevin Bacon.
All these national guys are loving Jesper Horsted. Yeah, he's the new Kevin Bacon. Let's play 6 degrees of Jesper Horsted.
I had one more. 7. I added one.
You added one.
That's right.
That is classic. We might have to get him on, Merck. We got all these connections to,
If they win, I'll get him on next week.
I think we're going to have to. Yeah. We'll talk to him about surfing in Nicaragua.
That's got to be fun.
Oh, man, that's great. All right, Reese, he'll join us again next week, and we'll have the playoff picture all set. I don't think it's going to change
too
much.
The book title, Surfing with Sandinistas. I think that'd be great. Right?
Well done, Yurko.
I'm here for you.
That was impressive. I got to be honest.
Yeah, listen, there's not much I don't know.
Back to a history class from the 80s.
Whole lot I have no idea about.
That's pretty good. Bears news right now. We kind of talked about this a little bit as we said hi to Reese. Right coming out here at 1 o'clock is that the news is not good on Prince Amukamara. He is officially listed as doubtful for tomorrow's game. So usually you know what that means. The guy's not going to be able to play. That's just a 25% chance that he is going to play tomorrow night. So we will keep an eye on that. Remember to come hang with us tomorrow at Twin Peaks in Warrenville for a truly awesome football Thursday this week. Since the Bears play the Cowboys, we'll do our show out there. Waddle and Sylvie will do their show out there as well. The guys are out of Tailgaters today.
Tailgaters today.
To crown a champion in the 2019 Waddle and Sylvie Holiday Parody Song Contest.
What that means is Kevin Tolliver the Deuce.
Yes.
Needs to step up and make something happen.
Time to step up.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of a drop-off there.
Of course.
He's not Prince Amukamara.
Bears are a 3-point underdog in this game tomorrow.
I like it. I'm taking the 3.
You know, the Cowboys' record against the spread is not great. 6-5 in the 11 games in which they've been favored so far this year, but they've covered just 3 of their last 8 as a favorite. And I bring that up because the Cowboys have been a favorite in every game except 1 this year. And, you know, when they're the Cowboys are reasonably good, and I'd say that they're reasonably good right now, and they're such a heavy public team, it's not crazy to see them go many, many weeks without being an underdog. But, you know, they've only been a dog once. And it's funny when you look at the Cowboys in that 6-6 record, because a lot of weeks, and for gamblers, they would love this. Now, they haven't been a dog off them. If they were, they'd be on them a lot. And I was on them a couple weeks ago when they were a dog in New England, and they covered. That's the only time they've been an underdog, Yurk. When they went to New England for that game all year. But they've won the stats in a lot of weeks, but somehow they're only 6-6. And you said this, I think, in your promo you and Waddle do every week that runs on the radio station, talking about, you know, the matchup of the week for the
right,
Bears.
You said
they sort of find ways to lose. And when you look at their games, they win a lot of the stats. They have just inexplicably in ways found ways to lose. Dallas has the second best yard margin in the NFL. They are a plus 1,334 in yardage. That means they've gained over 1,300 more yards than their opponents. That's about 111 yards a game, Yurk. The Bears, by comparison, are a minus 455 in differential. That's 26. Think about that gap. And wouldn't you know it, both teams are 6-6.
Right, it's about 1,600 yards. If they're plus, they're minus.
Yes.
You add it together. That's the disparity between the two of them. I'd ask you then to check red zones.
Well, and I'm glad you brought
there
that up.
Go.
That's also on my sheets. You're an NFL guy.
There's information you give me, and I know exactly what it's leading to. It leads to the red zone.
I'll give you one other thing, too, just in terms of differential. The Bears are a plus 4 in scoring differential. The Dallas Cowboys are a plus 74. Yurk, that's third best in the NFC. How are they 6-6? Well, Yurko, being the football mind, says, well, let me check some of the red zone stats. Through the first 3 weeks of the year, when they were 3-0, they were dynamite in the red zone. They were inside the 20, 6 points every time. Boom, it was automatic. But wouldn't you know it, Yurk? It's gone sideways for them in the red zone. Since week 4, Dallas has scored a touchdown on just 45% of its red zone drives. That ranks 26th in the NFL over that span. So that tells
red zone
part of
woes.
The story.
Yeah, red zone woes. That'll happen in many red zone turnovers, I would look for, too.
Yeah, I don't have that off the top. I don't have that handy. I'd have to look for
turnovers
it.
Turnovers in the red zone are absolutely crippling. Missed field goals are absolutely crippling.
You know what else has hurt the Cowboys? They haven't had a takeaway, Yurk, in 4 games.
That's going to hurt. And let's
4
hope,
weeks.
Let's hope that's 5.
Let's hope it's 5.
Hard to win a game when you don't force the turnover.
Sure is, isn't it?
That means your offense has to play perfect.
So while you look at it and you say, like on the macro, boy, they're winning the stats in a lot of games. Look at that yard differential. Look at their scoring differential. When you start taking a close look, you realize, well, all of a sudden they've struggled in the red zone. All of a sudden they can't take the football away. I make costly penalties here and there that kill drives. I mean, whatever it is, it's all added up to Dallas seemingly being a pretty good team with a lot of talent. That's just 6-6.
I check their BABIP.
I don't have their BABIP.
Different
handy.
Sport. Sorry. My fault, fellas. I confuse all the stats that are out there.
Field Yates is going to join us coming up next. If you've got a fantasy question, we'll try to get in as many as we can. We'll talk some Bears in NFL and then get into fantasy with Field. Most people starting the playoffs this weekend. So go ahead and shoot them to me on my Twitter timeline at Carmen DeFalco. Use the hashtag AskField.
But we all put off making those changes that we know we need to make. Maybe your doctor has told you your blood pressure is a little bit too high. I heard that yesterday, not for me, but for a friend of mine. And you need to lower that cholesterol because it's up in the 250s. Whoa. But there's always some reason why it's too difficult. It's too time-consuming. It's too expensive. Seattle Sutton's healthy eating provides you that simple, no-nonsense, affordable solution delivered directly to your door with one simple phone call. Their meals are specifically designed with your health goals in mind. All meals meet the guidelines set forth by the American Heart and Diabetes Association. Mm. Plus, they're delicious because they're prepared by a classically trained restaurant chef.
Is he a Michelin awarded chef?
I believe three stars.
Three
Carm.
Michelin stars.
Make that change that you know you've been putting off.
Did he win the Escoffier Prize?
I believe he did. And take a simple step that will help you be around a little bit longer for the ones that you love. And kiddies out there, youngsters out there, sons and daughters of parents that might be, you know, facing that high blood pressure. It's a great time. Seattle Sutton has gift certificates for purchase that are perfect for the holidays. Okay, buy for the parents, guys. Try the Seattle Sutton plan for mom and dad. Trust me, you want them around a little bit longer. Call 800-442-DIET or log on to SeattleSutton.com. That's Seattle Sutton's healthy eating, feeding you what you should be eating for the rest of your life.
That's right. Yeah, Field Yates will join us next on ESPN 1000.
Field Yates on Carmen and Yurko.
Sometimes people do things in fantasy football emotionally and interest-wise, right?
NFL and fantasy football talk with Field Yates every week on Carmen and Yurko.
What if there's a 5% chance that he does play at a high level, a top 12 quarterback level? This is your one chance to take advantage of it.
ESPN's Field Yates on ESPN 1000.
Before we get to Field, there is breaking baseball news, and unfortunately, it is not good news for the White Sox. According to Mark Craig from TheAthletic.com, the Phillies have reached an agreement with Zach Wheeler. The ex-Met stays in the NL East and close to New Jersey, where Wheeler's wife is from. So the White Sox miss out on another top target. This is an all-too-familiar recurring theme. I'm glad they got the catcher in the full, in the mix like they did.
Grandal.
But this was their target. They at least weren't. At least they weren't giving us false hope that they were going to ever be in on Garrett Cole. They're not. And they're not in on Strasburg, obviously. Strasburg, I'm like you now.
Strasburg!
They're not in on Strasburg. It seemed like this was the guy for them to go get. So what happened?
What was the final number?
It does not have any of it yet. So let's wait and see before we totally lambast them. But, I mean, you're right in the one-yard line again. And you can't punch it in?
It feels like your team punts on the one-yard line.
They're like,
you can have possession. We'll take a knee on fourth down. Go ahead.
They're like the Panthers on the one-yard line. I mean, that's kind of why Ron Rivera was fired, right? There's like four games this year where they were inside the five and they couldn't score to win a game.
That's right.
And it happened again on Sunday. That's what they're like right now. You're right there. Up until last night, you had the best bid. You had the highest bid.
How does Madison Baumgartner sound to you?
It's going to have to start sounding more and more
appealing. Whole lot better.
Yeah. I mean, it has to.
It's going to be 5 years, $90 million.
Did we have a caller yesterday say he's going to be the just that? Yeah, I love that.
A few people on Twitter said that to me. They said, Carm, what if it's Verlander? Now, he hasn't even struggled like Verlander. I mean, remember, Verlander, for a while, it was like, he kind of looked like he was done.
Different pitcher. Does not have the stuff Verlander has,
right? No, he does not. He doesn't have the velocity that Verlander has.
That's right.
You know, that still plays.
Carm, how you guys cannot be with the amount of money you guys have? You can't spend $10 million more?
I don't know.
On either.
Well, maybe we'll come to find out that the money was the same and he picked the Phillies. It's familiarity and the wife's from there and he wanted to stay in the NL East. I don't know.
So Chicago never had a chance to begin with. They set the market and then everybody came over the top of them and it didn't make a difference because the wife wanted to stay on the East Coast.
I guess we'll find out some of the details, but if we find out that they came up short again in terms of money, that's pretty upsetting. This was like their prime target. You know, you're trying to finish this off now, right?
You are.
You're trying to add the final few pieces that are going to take you from the rebuild and all the painful years you've put your fans through to a team that can compete for a championship. And he's part of it. And I got news for you. Yes. Manny Machado was part of it last year. Oh, it was too much money. It was this. It was that. In the White Sox minds, he was part of it. But when push came to shove, money was an issue. Oh, well, we're not going to go that high. And if that's the case again, I don't know that it is yet because it's too early in this process. We haven't seen any numbers
That's upsetting. So we will continue to follow, but according to Mark Craig and others, Jeff Pass and others are giving him credit now, saying that the Phillies have reached an agreement with Zach Wheeler.
Is it the sixth year, maybe?
I don't know.
Maybe that's what it is.
I guess we'll just have to wait and find out.
Too long of a period of time.
God, it's painful.
I feel for you, brother.
Let's bring in our buddy Field Yates. He joins us at this time each and every Wednesday. He is Ask Field Yates. He's Ask Field Yates. That's what I tell everybody to do. Send the hashtag Ask Field for fantasy questions. I'm all disheveled now.
Well, you are. You're upset about your team.
Field is at Field Yates on Twitter. And he joins Carmen and Yurko now on ESPN 1000. What's up, Field?
Hey, you know, I'm actually going to check right now to see if Ask Field Yates is available. I kind of like that handle.
You just use that handle from now on, okay? It's so much cooler.
I do get a lot of questions asked. You know, people are always asking me stuff. So not a bad idea.
Exactly. All right, here's a question. Can the Bears, I mean, they got a tough schedule. They do not have a single opponent in these last four that are below 500. The only team that is 500, the opponent tomorrow, the Dallas Cowboys. Any chance the Bears run the table?
There is a slight chance, yes, because they're so good defensively. Like, I know you guys have probably beaten this topic into the ground, but and maybe this is just me who found this surprising. They're allowing fewer points this year than last year.
Yes.
Like, that's crazy. We talked about how that was, like, a potentially historically great defense. Not quite historic, but, you know, on the border of being historic last year, and they're better in what I think most of us view as the most important stat, right? Fewer points you allow, the better your chances are to win each and every Sunday. So the defense is good enough to keep them competitive. It's going to take a lot, though. And, you know, I think running the table, actually, I do think would do the trick.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it's going to, I don't know, 5% chance, somewhere in that range sounds about reasonable to me, maybe 10%.
Do the Cowboys wake up here? And, I mean, with the talent they have, I mean, do they wake up and put it together here in the next couple of weeks, starting tomorrow?
You know, I don't think it wakes up in a way of consequence. And I'll just say this, guys, and maybe I'm in the minority here, and I am willing to have people push back on this opinion, but what Jerry Jones is doing right now, which is basically undercutting Jason Garrett's authority and credibility at every chance that he gets, I think this is, like, potentially explosive for the team. Mm. Again, I'm not saying that Jason Garrett has not been incredible this year, obviously. If he were, then the team would not be 6-6. But if Jerry Jones really thinks this team has what it takes to run the table or close to it, at least win the division, why would he? I mean, he's undermining the credibility of Jason Garrett, who has to go in front of those men every day and serve as their coach. Why would any player give a single crap about what Jason Garrett has to say based off of what Jerry Jones says about him and how there is zero secret that he's going to fire him after the year? I guess if I felt like there was better leadership in Dallas, that maybe it would be enough for me to believe this team could turn things around, but I'm just not impressed by the leadership, and no, I don't think they're going to run the table. I could be wrong, and their schedule is quite favorable once they get through the Bears game tomorrow night, but I'm not banking on it myself.
Who wins the division, Seattle or San Francisco?
Oh, man. I think it's Seattle, and the simple reason is that San Francisco has to play in New Orleans tomorrow. I'm sorry, Sunday, which after this past weekend, obviously, is such a close and competitive game against Baltimore, that I think that could be as simple of a narrative right there, that, like, you know, Seattle would have potentially a one game edge. They do play one more time, which we all can't wait for. That game will be played in Seattle. So I think because of the fact that they got the job done in San Francisco previously and that San Francisco has to go to New Orleans this weekend, I give the edge to Seattle in that division. But as good as Seattle is at 10-2, every game they play is the exact same. No matter who they're playing, the Seahawks are going to be within 7 points at some sort of pivotal moment of the game. Whether it's a really good team like Minnesota or San Francisco, or it's a really bad team. Like, the Seahawks nearly lost to the Bengals in week 1.
Yeah.
How incredible does that game look now, given that Cincinnati's 1-11? And it was like a really, I think it was 20-19 was the final.
That's crazy.
Here's a question I never thought I would ask. They're 9-3. New England's 10-2. Who wins that division?
Oh, man.
And I never thought I'd ask that.
No.
Never.
No question. I think the Patriots still win the division for this reason, is we're at the point now where you actually can go game by game and play the schedule simulations out somewhat logically. So the Bills host the Ravens. I think they lose that game. Then they go to Pittsburgh on Sunday night, which could have all kinds of wild card ramifications, and they could lose that game too. Then they have to go to New England. So let's just say they split the next two games, lose to Baltimore and beat Pittsburgh. I still think going to New England, they'd have to win that game, and then they play the Jets in Week 17. Whereas for the Patriots, you know, this Sunday is going to be a really difficult test. But even if they lose on Sunday to the Chiefs, which I actually think is going to happen, at least I think it could happen, then I think still just the one-game edge is enough this late in the season that I think the Patriots end up winning this division at 13-3 or something like that. The Bills are maybe a game or two behind.
Is there anything that can fix the Patriots' offense at this point? I mean, there's no personnel that can really do it, is there?
Yeah. The part that has given me hesitation from saying the answer is no is that at this time last year, the Patriots were an albatross offensively in some ways. They had zero offense. Remember that stretch late last season where they were completely lost? They lost the Miami Miracle game, and they had other issues that seemed irreparable, and then they got hot. And, you know, I'm a sucker for all of those DVDs for championship runs, or I guess not really DVDs anymore, but you see the clips of, like, you know, turning point and things like that for any team. And I thought there was a really revealing segment from the Patriots' latest one where they talked about, or they went behind the scenes, how the Patriots kind of found their identity at one point late in the season, and they felt more comfortable with everything they were doing going forward. And basically it was, let's not try to be who we aren't. Let's focus on who we are. And they ended up running the football really effectively down the stretch. And you have to throw the football enough to stay in games where you're down big, like this past weekend against the Texans when you were down multiple scores. But maybe the Patriots just get back to basics. Like Sony Michel played really well down the stretch last year and in the playoffs. Sony Michel has not been that player this year. Maybe the Patriots just kind of keep it simple, and that is their winning formula.
Field Yates is our guest. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. All right, I'll get some fantasy questions in here, and I got to say, you can tell it's playoffs because I must have 150 questions in here, and obviously we're not going to be able to get to the overwhelming majority of those, but everybody needs help now as the playoffs start. So here we go. Tommy, one quarterback league, Wentz, Winston, or Cousins?
Wow, that's a good one right there. Guys, I'm having a hard time trusting Carson Wentz right now. I understand he was good this past week against Miami. My instinct is Wentz, even though I'm having a hard time trusting him. I'm going to stick with Wentz. Okay. Even though Kirk Cousins, favorable matchup indoors, like, who knows if Thielen will play. Dalvin Cook says he's going to play, but we'll see. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and stick with Wentz there and just hope the matchup is right.
Yeah, that Giants defense is terrible.
Yeah, they're so bad. But I am looking forward to Eli Manning on Monday.
There you go. Eli's coming back. This is from Ross. Sony Michel, who we were just talking about, Tyler Boyd or Darius Geis, standard scoring?
Man, I'm going to tell you to go with Tyler Boyd because even in the standard scoring, still I think has the most upside. But someone mentioned to me that, like, they were asking about, they were basically at the point where they're, like, I need to cut bait on Sony Michel and continuing to put him out in my lineup, which means that he'll have one of two things, right? It'll either be Sony Michel has, like, a monster 120-yard game against the Chiefs, or he'll rush 14 times for 37 yards and three touchdowns, right?
Yes.
So I'm telling you, Tyler Boyd, I'm not trying to walk myself back and say that in forecasting the Sony thing. I'm sticking with Tyler Boyd. Sony is just, you know, you can't keep trying him out there and getting 4.5 points a game.
All right, Kenny needs to, I can't believe we're asking this question. Deshaun Watson or Ryan Tannehill?
Wow, isn't that amazing?
Yes.
That is amazing. I'm going to stick with Deshaun Watson. Denver's defense is fine. They're good. They lost their leading sacker Derek Wolfe, which is just amazing that it's not Von Miller, by the way. They lost their leading sacker, Derek Wolfe, for the season. Deshaun Watson's obviously outstanding. We all watched on Sunday night and did so in awe. Tannehill has been great, make no mistake about it. And the Raiders' defense stinks. But I'm going to go with Deshaun Watson. It feels like if one of those two players is more likely to have like an 8 to 12 point game, it's Ryan Tannehill, right?
Yeah,
it's possible that Tannehill has a 30 point game, but it just feels like Deshaun's floor is substantially higher.
Yeah, you'd feel silly if Deshaun lit it up and you had him on the bench, even though Tannehill's got a great matchup. David wants to know, Brandon Cooks, Robbie Anderson, who's been good lately, or Marvin Jones? He needs two of those three in a full point PPR league.
Yeah, I'd go with the latter two. Brandon Cooks has been really quiet of late for the Rams. Obviously, he dealt with that concussion that sent him out for a couple of games. There might have been 2 weeks, one including their bye. But Anderson, like you said, has been good of late. The Jets, try to figure that offense out. And Anderson better get it going, better keep it up because he's about to become a free agent. He could make himself a tidy amount of money. But I would go with Robbie Anderson and Marvin Jones, who, like, it doesn't matter who throws the football, the Lions are at least doing enough in the passing game to keep Marvin Jones and obviously Kenny Golladay very much on the fantasy radar.
Ben Knight needs to know, running back two, full point PPR, Geis or Rashad Penny?
Wow, that's a great question because they kind of remind me of each other. Neither one of them is even the starter for his own backfield. I'm a little nervous about the Redskins going to Green Bay and just getting waxed. The Packers feeling pretty good after dusting one NFC East opponent, now doing it at home. I would go with Rashad Penny there. There seems to be something special brewing right now in Seattle in their running game.
Let's see. Adam needs to know, Drew Brees or Kirk Cousins?
Wow, what a great question, too. I'm going to go with Kirk Cousins. Isn't it crazy to think that Drew Brees could be benched? But that 49ers defense is legit. If they could kind of contain Lamar, which they did last week, then even new Drew Brees at home, which normally is just you set it and you forget it. I'm going to go with Kirk Cousins because that Lions defense, gosh, they had such a tough year this year amidst a lot of personnel turnover.
Well, that's just the thing. Brees scored 11 points in my league last week. Yeah. Trubisky, 25.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who would ever say Trubisky over Brees?
Fantasy's crazy. That's why fantasy's
nuts.
Hard.
That's why it's nuts.
Matthew's got a question along those lines again. Here's the Tannehill question again. He says, because of the matchup, and Lamar Jackson's got to face that Buffalo defense. He wants to know Tannehill or Jackson.
I don't have it with like, I literally don't have it in me to say anybody but Lamar Jackson. I don't care who the question is.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it's like, just go with it.
I think you have to.
Yeah, you have to. I want to say he's got five top 3 weeks this year.
Yeah, you got
it. I think the leader for the entire season last year was Mahomes with three top 3 weeks. He's next level, man. He is next level.
He's been great. You can't bench him. And then one more here. I'll get one more from Tom. Allen Robinson tomorrow night. Cortland Sutton, who's had a couple of good weeks here in the last 3 weeks, or Robert Woods?
Wow.
That's good.
Three stars. I guess I'm going to go with Sutton. I guess. And the reason why I have so much hesitation there is that I immediately talk myself into Allen Robinson, and then I immediately talk myself into Robert Woods. I'm going to go with Sutton. Stay there because Cortland Sutton seems to just find a way into the end zone. Robert Woods, as great as he is, he's got zero receiving touchdowns this year. It makes absolutely no sense to me.
That's crazy. That is nuts. All right, Field, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Looking forward to it, guys.
See
talk
man.
To you then.
That's Field Yates, at Field Yates on Twitter. Send him a message to help. Yeah, he's good at responding with people. Jeff Meller's got fantasy football focus on Sunday morning from 8 until 9. So he's got a full hour where he'll be able to take your phone calls and help everybody get their lineup set for playoffs for most leagues with week 14. Mike and I will be back with Odds Couple this week. The great Mike North
wonderful.
And I. Yes, we've got Odds Couple, and we've got the brand new sponsor, VegasScoresAndOdds.com. Now, VegasScoresAndOdds.com is your online source for up-to-the-minute scores, odds, and sports betting lines with daily free picks and selections and analysis and recaps. They've got it all, and it's the home to world champion handicapper Mike North and Fuego, picking at better than 70%. Call 800-813-9646 now for some big game information against the spread, free on a recorded message line, or go to VegasScoresAndOdds.com for more info. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
We're live at Tailgaters in Bolingbrook as we crown a holiday parody song champ, plus Barstool Big Cat at 4 and Wilbon at 5.
We get started at 2, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, we'll talk to the guys in about 10 minutes for Crosstalk. Tomorrow, we're all together. Our show, Waddle and Sylvie's show, Twin Peaks, Warrenville. We hope to see everybody there for a truly awesome football Thursday this week because the Bears and the Cowboys will kick off week 14 tomorrow. Details starting to come in here on the Wheeler deal. Don't even. Chris, please. I don't know if you're rubbing it in or...
Well, they were close, right? Again, they were close.
Were they offering $90 million? Some other going to say it was more?
Yes, they were.
I mean, it sounds like the White Sox were willing to go $5-100 from what we'd heard. The deal that Zach Wheeler gets with the Phillies is $5 for $118. You couldn't come up with another $18 million, or did you spend that on Jose Abreu? It's so important to have Jose Abreu back, right?
You want duplicity. That's what you want.
Yeah.
You want repetition.
Forget about a 29-year-old pitcher that could help you win.
You want to be jammed up.
Make sure we give a lifetime contract to Jose Abreu.
Easiest position to play on the baseball field, first base, is it not?
I don't get it. Unless Zach Wheeler just said, no, guys, my wife wants to be near Jersey.
And that might have happened.
And okay, what can he do? But it does paint a bleak picture of what people think about your franchise. Like, that's it? Like, you can't. The player can't say, honey, we got to go to Chicago. It's going to be so great. The wife's going to win that, I guess, I suppose. I don't know. I'm beside myself.
Happy wife, happy life.
You couldn't come up with an extra $18 million? I hope that's not the case. I hope she just said, and I guess it gets us into a different conversation about why the Sox might not be able to take the next step. This seems to be a problem with Jerry's teams, the free agents, the big free agents wanting to come here. Like, if they tell us that they were short by $18 million just because they wouldn't spend over $100 million, but you got to rush out and give a 3-year extension to Jose Abreu for what?
Be patient.
I'm patient.
I don't want you to have a knee-jerk reaction.
I know. You're right.
The initial news and the happenings. If they go out and they sign a couple other guys, we want a Wheeler. It wasn't going to happen. We had other guys and other players identified that we want to bring in here on this pitching staff.
There's a drop-off.
If they've got to play. Well,
maybe you get Madison Bumgarner.
You know what? There's a drop-up, too.
They're not going for it.
A step-up.
They're not going,
Yerk. There is a step-up.
Yerk, they're not.
I want to step up.
If I suppose Bumgarner might not be a bad consolation prize in all this. I'm trying to find the thing that would make me feel good about my team going into 2020. And there are things, actually.
And Lucas Giolito's got all the rest of the pitchers down to his mental camp. You got to know that's going to happen this offseason.
I don't know.
I don't think there's anything to be upset about right now with White Sox fans. It's one of many people early in free agency.
But why are you targeting these guys and you're losing out?
I wouldn't tell the world who I'm targeting. I'd let other people know. Maybe they did it to get Zach Wheeler's price up through the roof so they can go get somebody else.
This is all part of their plan?
Could be a part of their plan. Rick Hahn might be a genius.
Okay.
He might be a genius.
You're trying to make me feel better. I appreciate it.
It's what I'm here for.
You're a good teammate.
I don't want White Sox fans to be downtrodden.
All along, their plan was Bumgarner?
Yeah. It was Bumgarner? Maybe.
There's a lot of teams who want Bumgarner, so, so I wouldn't hold your breath on that one either.
Now you got to bring me right back down, yeah. Merkin?
Well, that's what Merkin does.
Son of a...
Merkin's a Cubs fan. That's what he does.
Hey, Yerk, it's Whiskey Wednesday. Let's not let the White Sox news ruin the day, right?
It's
Whiskey Wednesday,
day.
Yerko. And, of course, it's brought to you, as always, on the Carmen and Yerko Show by the great folks at Bub City, downtown River North, in Rosemont. Catch all the college and pro games on 2 dozen flat-screen TVs. With ice-cold beer and slabs of baby back ribs, or buy two, get one free, 10 different wing flavors to choose from. Are you kidding me? And if you're tailgating or hosting at home, think of Bub City because they're offering free delivery through DoorDash on the weekends for large party offers. Go to bub-city.com to learn more. The food's amazing. You'll really wow your guests with that food. The smoked meats, top-notch, and, of course, the whiskey selection, Yerko. We love it. And wouldn't you know it, the whiskey of the week is the special single-barrel Russell's Reserve that we picked out with Bub City. It went on sale and debuted last week when we were at Turkey and Turkey. But get in and try the single barrel that we picked. We sold like 50, 60 bottles of it last week.
I'm not shocked.
You can drink it at either location. You could buy it at the Rosemont location, but it's great. 10-year single barrel Russell's Reserve from Wild Turkey, and you will like it. I promise you that. Been doing the whiskey advent calendar with the bourbon society that I'm in, of course, the Adventurers Club.
Sure, the Adventurers.
Everybody gets a 1-ounce pour. And then it's blind. You know, you taste it, and then on Facebook, TJ releases every night.
How do you guys see which bottle you're going to choose? If you're blind.
You're drinking blind. And wouldn't you know it, last night's, the third night, was a highly decorated whiskey from 2019. I liked it. It was my second favorite of the three we've had so far, but it was getting kind of roasted on the message board, and it turned out to be the whiskey of the year, not the bourbon of the year. The whiskey of the year.
McKenna.
The Henry McKenna 10-year single barrel bottled and bond. How about that?
Was getting lambasted by...
Yeah, it was getting... Like, people were like, this one's just okay. I liked it. Like I said, I ranked the second night's, last two nights ago, the best one. It was the private selection that Maker's Mark did this year, where it's Maker's Mark that they then finish with like 10 toasted French oak staves, I think. I was blown away by it. I really liked it. The best one, I think, of the three we've had so far.
But, and what was the third one? The one that you put right now?
The first one, my least favorite so far, the first three, was the first night, and that was the Old Forester, I think, the 1897 bottled and bond. That was my least favorite so far. So, fun stuff, Yurko. The Bourbon Advent Calendar.
So you go there every day. You have the calendar at your house?
We have the box with all the one-ounce pours, yeah. TJ did all the work. We each have one, and yeah, it's great. It's a good time. Wine clubs do it, and why not bourbon clubs,
You can't
too?
Wait for tonight, can you?
Cannot wait for tonight. We got a break. When we come back, Crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie. Today is the culmination of the greatest contest of the year on the radio station, the Waddle and Sylvie Holiday Parody Song Contest. They're out of Tailgaters in Bolingbrook. We'll talk to them next on ESPN 1000.